Greetings, cyberspace, and welcome to episode 263 of the Double Density Podcast with your host, Brian Angelo. Double Density is your home to tech tales and paranormal primers. Now, first things first, Angelo, you've taken the wheel yet again this week, and you want to talk about a couple of different things, but I want to talk about conspiracies, right?
Okay.
I want to talk about, as a follow-up to MH370 and all of the mishaps with airplanes, I want to talk about some issues with Boeing.
Yeah, you sent me an article, or was it Rob that sent us the article in our group
chat? It was Rob that sent us the article, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, Boeing whistleblower is no more.
Yeah, so John Barnett made some powerful enemies before he passed. People are very skeptical of what's happened there because, yet again, even yesterday, there appeared to be another Boeing problem with a plane that lost a piece of fuselage while trying to land.
Does it make you nervous to travel on Boeing airplanes? Even though we've done this for many, many years, do you feel like their quality control and quality assurance has gone down in recent years?
Yes, absolutely.
The thing is most airplanes that we've flown on, at least for myself, seem really old.
I was going to say the older ones are the better ones in this case, right?
And, yeah.
So I'm fine with that. Yeah, but I did a bunch of deep diving and a bunch of unnamed Boeing employees have said that the number of inspectors and as well as just like the security measures have been like downgraded in the service of moving things along production a lot more quickly, right? So it's just very weird that like this plus John Barnett apparently was found dead of a gunshot wound to the head, which seemed a little suspect.
In his vehicle.
In his vehicle, correct, yeah. So that's just a little bit of an odd one. So I thought I'd just throw that out there sort of like as a continuation of what we talked about last week. But now this week, we want to talk about something a little bit lighter. We want to talk about gaming.
Well, a quick little thing. Apparently, there's a PS5 Pro incoming. I find this weird because the PS5 proper and now the PS5 Slim, although it's really not much slimmer, haven't really been readily available for very long. People really only started being able to buy a PS5, I guess, towards the end of, I want to say 2022, right? I got mine in February 2022 when I still had to like get Twitter announcements to know when to right. Go buy it. I was really lucky in that essentially the first time I got a notification on Twitter, I managed to get one on Costco's website. But most people really throughout most of 2022 had a hard time. It started getting easier towards the end of the year. 2023, I think in most cases, if you want to get a PS5 or Xbox Series X for that matter, you can just get one.
Yes. And it's funny in that like it's aiming to be the holiday season because the long rumored Switch 2 would probably be coming out in a similar time frame, announced in June probably for the holiday season.
Although there have been rumors about that being pushed into 2025.
Though. Yeah. Yeah, right. So it's all up in the air, right? I mean, these are all potentials. Like, there's been no confirmed responses from either Sony or Nintendo about this.
Nothing at all. This is all just speculation, and there's rumors of information coming from internal developers at the Sony studios. But really, they're saying maybe this PS5 will be up to 3 times faster, which is great. I think the biggest advantage of having a PS5 Pro will be the fact that, you know what, you don't need to choose between fidelity or performance mode. It'll be both fidelity and performance mode. Because right now, you get to choose between the two of them most of the time. I favor performance. I don't really care if it's 4K. It's better than HD most of the time. It's HDR in performance mode. My old man eyes can't really see the 4K in motion, but I do really notice the difference in a video game anyway of 30 frames per second versus 60 frames per second.
Well, here's my big problem, right? Why call it the PS5 Pro? Why not just call it something else, right? Because I think that like you're trying to take from the Apple model of naming things depending on their size. But I do feel like, you know, if it's 3 times faster, you know, that is quite significant, I think.
I think they have to keep the name because it's going to be playing PS5 games. And the PS5 games will run on both a PS5 and a PS5 Pro, just run better. Sort of like they did with the PS4, right? They had the PS4, PS4 Pro. All games that ran on a PS4 Pro ran on a PS4, just significantly worse in some cases. Or in some cases, not at all, like Cyberpunk 2077, which had to be pulled. For the most part, the games were able to run on both. It's just like having a crappier version of PC. So they can't rename it a PS6 because a PS6
No, but I just meant like, I don't know, like the PS Extra or something. Just something a little bit more of a difference, right? Because I think that like we've been brainwashed by the way in which Apple does things and we all feel like we have to follow similar nomenclatures, right? And I get it because the audience maybe gets it, but at the same time, it feels odd to say, hey, you got three times of faster processing, blast processing, right?
Didn't Sony do this first though with the PS4 Pro? I guess Apple has had MacBooks and MacBook Pros, but they never like... I don't feel it's an Apple thing. I think it's more just a naming thing. It's just that now.
Well,
Apple
I just meant
has,
in the marketplace. Like, what other things can you point to before that? Right. Like, I'm just trying to think. Yeah. Nomenclature wise, just I'm speaking about the name, not.
I agree.
The power
of
anything.
I agree. But regardless, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be getting another PS5 at this point. I play the one I have. I'm not an avid gamer that's playing like hours upon hours per week, but I play from time to time, and I like having my PlayStation 5. Honestly. It's never felt slow. Unlike, like, you know, the PS4 out of the box, great games, but always felt slow in terms of loading times. Mm-hmm. I don't have that feeling at all with the PS5.
Yeah, I mean, it's also like the change in hard drive too. I think really helps, or just the way that the hard drive has been optimized.
Yes, absolutely. The biggest change for me with the PS5, not graphics, it is load times. Specifically, I can point to the best being the Spider-Man 2 fast travel, which pretty much almost makes no sense in that they had to add a timer sort of to it as you hold the button. And it seems like they're hiding the load time. They're not. They could actually make it instant. And it really is.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know about that particular aspect of Spider-Man 2.
The traversal mechanic in Spider-Man is so much fun that I almost never fast traveled. But in some cases where I was trying to find certain things quickly, the fast travel was amazing. And it, honestly, like I said, makes no sense.
Let us move from the far future, right, if respectively speaking, to the near future, Angelo. I want to talk about something that a lot of people have been talking about this week, all about TikTok being banned in the United States potentially. But I mean, like, obviously it's a long road to getting there, but the wheels are turning.
There have been rumblings about TikTok being banned in the U.S. for a while because of the ownership. Here in Canada, the government banned TikTok on government devices. I know for my wife, for people in her school board that would have a school board issued phone of some kind, they would not be allowed to have TikTok. Nature of education, though, no teachers have phones issued to them anyway. It's mostly administration. But in Canada, I have a friend of mine who works for the Canadian government, and he's not allowed using TikTok on it. Also, he's not allowed using stuff like AirDrop on his phone either.
Oh, well, that makes sense, I think, right? I think that kind of makes sense, yeah. Yeah, so ByteDance, which is TikTok's parent company, pretty much being forced by Joe Biden and company to sell in theory, right? And President Joseph Robinette has made it clear that if the bill crosses his desk that he would sign it. But, you know, it is a long way to get there. It still needs to go through the U.S. Senate, and no one quite knows how that's going to play out.
It seems that like it is, though, a bill that's being looked at and agreed upon by both Democrats and Republicans. Although it sounds like Professor Trump does not really agree with this, and he thinks that the biggest enemy is Facebook.
Wasn't he campaigning to ban TikTok a while back?
He changed his mind because as the wind blows, Facebook is more against his campaign than TikTok.
Of course, yeah. Very interesting, kind of a couple of different things here, right? So, there are a couple of scenarios that will happen, right? Either TikTok gets phased out of the United States, which is a possibility when you consider that it's the only of the top 10 countries that TikTok is in, the U.S. isn't one, the number not one at all, and is the only English language speaking country in there, right? So while it may be a big hit to people like influencers, in terms of TikTok's infrastructure, if you look at who's actually using it globally, it's not the significant chunk of people you think it is.
That's actually surprising to me, but again, like most of the population isn't in the U.S., right? There's more population worldwide, and TikTok is a worldwide phenomenon. Mm-hmm. It still would hurt them. In preparing for this episode, like the article I'm referencing the most is How the House Quietly Revived the TikTok Ban Before Most of Us Noticed by Lauren Feiner at The Verge. Something that really stood out to me is how this whole ban is getting children involved in politics because of a message that was sent to all TikTok users when they open the app. There's like a splash page encouraging them to contact their congressman or woman.
Which, I, you know, as an app makes sense. But at the same time, like I saw someone in the article being quoted that said a 9-year-old called them, and like they're not supposed to be on TikTok.
No, they're not. I think TikTok says the message went to 18-year-old users and over, obviously, but doesn't seem that way. One of the choice quotes from the article is, an in-app congressional call-in campaign that backfired spectacularly when TikTok rolled out notifications to its users urging them to call their representatives. Phone lines immediately became clogged across Capitol Hill. It was just like a man-made DDoS attack.
Yeah, a little bit, right? And I'm of two minds of this. One is being the bigger implication of being able to oust foreign controlled entities in the United States, not to be an analogous to anything, but right, like nationalization of things, for example, right, you know, as is popular in, you know, ironically enough, communism. But really, when you look at these, the decision, like what is, and you obviously they're using, you know, cybersecurity and like invasion of privacy is like really big pillars of this, right? But what about, you know, any other of these electronic platforms that we decide to use that suddenly, you know, suddenly there is a quote unquote like security issue, and suddenly, like, you know, once again, the US government is forcing a foreign owner's hands on doing something.
The thing is, the most of the social media that's popular, at least in the US, is American made, right? Like TikTok is the one that's the only really popular of all the ones that are being used that's not
Meta, X/based. Twitter, Snapchat, all American.
Yeah. Instagram, Facebook, the enemy of Trump.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so all those are American owned. And then this is, you know, obviously like a foreign power and a contentious foreign power in the eyes of the US government, right? I would be interested to know what the retaliation the Chinese government would take, because obviously ByteDance is a big deal in China, right? And they also have their own TikTok clone out there. Well, sorry, not TikTok clone, but like their own iteration of TikTok out there, right?
So there's two versions of TikTok by the same company?
So Douyin is the Chinese version of TikTok that's walled out because of all the security regulations and things like that that are prevalent within China, right?
And it's also made by ByteDance.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's essentially the same infrastructure, and obviously it's just walled off.
Do you use TikTok often?
No. I deleted it sometime in early 2022 when I found myself scrolling for 45 minutes at the start of the morning. Wow. So I said, you know what? I haven't. People occasionally send me TikToks, and that's fine. I will watch them, but I have uninstalled the app, and it's been 2 years at this point, more than 2 years, because I recognize what a time suck it is. It's very interesting because, like, this could have, like I said before, like in terms of like, you know, micro influencers and things like that, and people who have built up audiences and niches. Do you pivot to another social media channel, hope that like people follow you? Like, what do you do then if ByteDance decides that they're not willing to play ball?
Do you head off to? So Instagram has Reels. That's the closest analogy to to how TikTok works. It's actually almost identical, I think. And then there's YouTube Shorts that also, you know, if you go on the YouTube app and tap on a YouTube short, you can actually basically get into an interface where you swipe up to keep moving through them.
Yeah, well, same thing with Facebook, right? Like Facebook has stories too, right? Like just
Facebook, okay, yeah.
So I think they're like in order of popularity is probably Instagram, Facebook, then YouTube, right? Because usually if you have a YouTube channel or something, you're trying to build different types of videos depending on format. For shorts, it's 60 seconds, and then, you know, you have your regular YouTube stuff. So that's part of a larger strategy that you're probably wanting to undertake. But yeah, it's very interesting to see how this is going to go both on the Senate floor and then eventually when, you know, good old Biden decides to sign this bill into law, and what that looks like afterwards, and the legal battle that will probably happen once it hits the public, more or less. Once it escapes, like, the governmental bubble.
Yeah, I agree. And the problem is that what the vast majority of these people making these decisions are older generation, mostly white people, mostly white men.
Absolutely, right? And, you know, the fact that they can't use TikTok on their phones, they don't, you know, they understand what it is conceptually, and all they hear about is I'd be interested to know what exactly the security assessment they've done is and what they've targeted and what, you know, information is being passed to the, you know, ByteDance and, you know, therefore the Chinese government, I guess, would be the next logical step. That isn't already being collected a thousand other different ways anyways, right? Like, that's just, you know, it's kind of like being made the poster child for not illicit, but like gray market data collection of individuals, right?
Yeah, and I wonder what the nefarious uses are. I would say most of these Congress people are out of touch with the youth of these days, right? They still think as millennials as the youths. although millennials are getting close to their 40s. And they're really, like, I consider myself sort of being in the know of tech stuff, but TikTok is really, really out of my area of expertise.
If I said skibbity toilet, really, would that mean anything to you?
Skibbity toilet?
Skibbity toilet.
Skibbity toilet. Is that like the pop squatter or whatever it was called?
No.
The squatty potty?
The squatty potty, yeah. No, that's not a guy. Okay, all right, we're good. Then you're definitely not in the know with the kids then. We're good.
No, I'm not. And with the vast majority of things, I am not. And it doesn't help that I have kids in my house that don't use this type of social media. Although my son explained to me the word yeet.
Yeah.
How that works.
While yeeting you outside, I hope?
Yeah.
Like Jazz, right, from the Fresh Prince?
Yeah, just thrown out like with sideways.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeet is quite old though, but that's nice to hear.
Yeah, he uses it. It's cool.
Have you decided to adopt the word yeet in your vocabulary?
I don't feel it suits me very well.
No? Okay. All right.
Sadly.
I guess we'll just have to keep mining the content of your offspring in order to find the words that really work for you going forward, right? The hip words that'll make you seem cool. Double density. Okay, so what's the worst case scenario here? What do you think is the worst path? Is it, you know, ByteDance pulling out or ByteDance selling off? And then it becomes a template by which the U.S. government can then force the hand of other foreign national companies who have any part of their process where it's collecting data on people.
Both ways are bad, but I feel like then a U.S. company buying it and being beholden to the U.S. government just flips the whole script on everyone. And then, okay, now the U.S. government's collecting your data. And because they consider themselves the quote-unquote good guys, they're okay collecting your data.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I think that, like, I guess that, you know, if you were an American to make that argument and say, like, better us than them kind of thing. But just
yeah,
really,
I understand that.
Yeah, but everyone's...
And you know, no one would lose out on their TikTok, although... As you know, I've said many times, like, social media is the devil and is terrible, and that's why I'm not on it. And I've made a conscious effort over the past few years of not using my phone in most cases, because I feel like I'm out and about. I sound like an old man, but I'm out and about, and people are glued to their goddamn phones, and it drives me crazy.
You heard it here, folks. Angelo, not like other girls, he wants to be known as a special girl, a pick-me almost. The one who doesn't use social media. The one who's outside of the conversation.
I'm shaking my fist at a cloud.
Pretty much. And with that, Angela, let us head on over to the paranormal side of things.
Great.
Welcome back to Double Density. As always, we're switching gears from tech to the paranormal. So good news, everyone. Angelo is reading a book. It is a minor miracle. You sent me a picture of the book while you were out with your son a week and a half ago. Almost 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, last week. Yeah, last week.
And you said, I'm going to buy this. And you did. And I'm also about 100 pages deep into this.
Oh, I'm glad. I didn't realize you had bought it already. So
yeah, I bought
awesome.
It. I bought it digitally.
Excellent.
So let's talk about it.
In the last few weeks, I've made a conscious effort of not looking at phones and TVs about an hour before I go to bed in the hopes of maybe sleeping better. And shockingly, I've been sleeping better. So that's really good. And now I've been reading in the evening anywhere from like 8:45 to 10 o'clock. So just reading books and stuff. And this is one of the books I decided to buy to read for this little experiment I'm doing, which I think I'm going to keep carrying over for quite a while.
I'm curious, what else have you bought or what are you planning on buying too apart from this?
Okay, so I've bought a few books. I bought this book. I have a few books on the shelf that I wanted to read. I also read The Hunger Habit, which is by the same author who wrote Unwinding Anxiety, which I really liked.
Okay.
So it's about healthy eating habits and how sort of sabotage ourselves sometimes. And I'm also reading Atomic Habits right now.
Oh, interesting. I have a podcast for you to listen to about how it's just not an actual book.
Oh, well, I'm honestly reading it mostly for entertainment purposes, and it's pretty entertaining so far. But the big thing I'm reading right now is the book UFO by Garrett M. Graff, who's actually written some serious books, right? This is not a UFO Yahoo writing this thing. He's not a grifter. He's a serious author.
I think what you mean to say is he doesn't necessarily have as an overt agenda as other people that we talk about here.
No baggage is a good way of saying it too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like, I'm 100 pages in, and like, he does a really good, like, there's nothing that we do not know as people who are in the space, but it is an interesting summation of it, right?
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. I'm in section two right now where he's starting to talk about SETI and the Drake equation and stuff like that. I think that's my next chapter is the Drake equation. And spoiler alert if you haven't gotten there, Brian. Spoiler alert for reality. Yeah. We've never talked.
We've definitely talked about the Drake equation before, so I'm not really quite worried about any big surprises popping out. But something you said that surprised you is that the idea of the government disclosing what they've had, and basically like what we want to talk about today, is the idea that the government's been, you know, hiding things since the 40s, which we are well aware of, but the idea of like the public demanding its release is also decades old at this point.
It's cyclical, though. It seems to go really up and down. And when flying saucers, the term was coined, the interest in the topic of UFOs, flying saucers, whatever they were called at the time, was skyrocketing, no pun intended. It was like really a big deal. People were interested in space. People were interested in aliens because of things like that happened in Roswell. Although when it happened, the Roswell wasn't that big a deal apart from the government saying they had caught a UFO and then quickly retracting it because they realized, oh no, this is actually a top secret US thing and not a UFO. People have been wanting disclosure since the 50s, really, demanding the government. Our friend Jan Allen Hynek was part of these groups, right? Like they really wanted disclosure to happen. Kind of faded away, I'd say, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Sort of 90s started to gap again because of X-Files. And now we're again at a peak of this whole disclosure movement, really not just being underground to like people like us, but all over the world and in mainstream news. Like I put articles from The Guardian, CNN. Like this is not just, Black Vault talking about this.
No, and I think it's really interesting. I think you're right, firstly. I think like the very interesting thing is about, the concept of disclosure or just like, you know, public admission of these things, I think goes hand in hand with the idea of it enduring in the news cycles in the 50s, right? Especially when you consider the number of very public sightings that have happened, right? During that time frame. So I'd imagine there's a correlation there between it being in the news and then kind of disappearing. And then after, like, when you really consider, like, you know, post Betty and Barney Hill in terms of like large national headline grabbers, it's more relegated to like the middle of the news section, the back of the news section, and then it's the AP wire comment. It's not necessarily front page material for a long, long time until the 90s again in a certain way. And even then in the 90s, it was still relegated to the middle of the news section or et cetera, kind of never maintained the spotlight until now again.
The 90s actually really, I think, were the start of where we're at now. I mean, it's taken like 28 years at this point, but you know, things like the X-Files really started making people think about UFOs. There were really great UFO shows. There always have been, right? Like 80s, 90s. There have been stuff, Unsolved Mysteries really brought stuff to the forefront. But now we're like, you know, since that, 2017 article in the New York Times by Leslie Kane, that has really, I guess snowballed into where we are now with people as front and center as like Marco Rubio being involved in trying to get disclosure, which is really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And even like, Alexander Ocasio-Cortez being asked for comment about this kind of stuff too, right? It's just, it's reached the mainstream in a really interesting kind of way. And one of the things I'm wondering about too is like, you know, John Podesta's email leaks and showing Tom DeLonge the connection there. And that kind of built its own little snowball. So I'm kind of curious, like, where Hillary's emails not hacked, what course would we have landed on here? Or what would it have looked like? I'm not saying fundamentally different. I'm just saying, like, what variations would the world have been offered were these not revealed earlier on, you know, in 2016?
I think there's a different timeline there where Trump didn't win the presidency and she would have won because he couldn't have kept throwing those stupid emails at everybody.
We could play what if all day, but I just like that particular one is very intriguing to me too, right?
Different timeline altogether.
I think there's something to talk about the Zed guys too, right? Because like in the 50s, apart from nuclear war, which is like huge and predominant things like that, like what other things have entered the news cycle back then that would have captured the public's imagination? Because you really consider like threats of all kinds, like threats from, you know, the USSR and then threats from the sky, right? And I think that like those could have go hand in hand. People see those as two sides of the same coin as a problem for the United States of America and similarly sort of Canada too, but not nearly as much.
What I find impressive is that how it's staying in the mainstream right now, because, you know, in the 50s, up until just maybe a decade ago, if not maybe a little longer than that, the news cycle was longer. Things stayed in the news longer. People ruminated over things longer. Now, with, you know, the aforementioned TikTok, you know, you stick for 8 seconds on something and move on to the next thing. And, you know, I don't want to be one of those old people talking about people's attention spans, but it's a proven thing. Our attention spans are very different than they were in the 1950s. Life moves at a much faster pace. And it stayed in the news longer then.
I don't think life, I don't necessarily think it's just life. It's just the amount of media offered to you, right? You know, the 24-hour news cycle of the 1980s into the 1990s, it's now kind of morphed into this, you know, online ecosystem where you can dig up like 70,000 news channels on YouTube or something like that, right? I'm just throwing a number out there, but there's a multiplicity of current affairs talking head kind of people, right? So for example, like last year, David Grosh comes out and says, you know, we're quite aware that there, you know, there's been information about, you know, non-Earth, you know, non-Earth vehicles existing out there, and we have them, right? And that's sort of lived on within waves, within different circles, being mentioned in different places at different times, right? So I think it's not necessarily that the news cycle is shorter. I think it just mutates a lot more quickly.
I agree with what you're saying, because it's just, it's such a different atmosphere too. You know, in the 50s, people had, like you said, there weren't like 1,000 different Yahoo channels to go to, right? Like you just go to, you know, you had your local news, your newspaper, and whatever articles would come over the wire, and people would talk about them for a week or two or three or months. Now there's so much media that can fulfill the void of everything else that it's impressive that there's this much bandwidth being given to something like UFO disclosure and the idea that the government's hiding something.
So I think it's really interesting, right? So just something to think about right now. Like, let's say you and I are neighbors, right? We're not. We live far away from each other. But that's okay. Pretend I bought the house next to you. This were the 1950s, right? You and I would have a conversation about maybe one or two topics of the day, right? Versus now, you and I obviously text each other pretty much every day with multiple links a day, right? Definitely. And I find it very interesting that, like, there is something to say about the shorter news cycle slash the story mutating, but then also, like, the story mutating just enough to be reshared again between us.
Yeah, I feel like for years we've been talking about the same thing in just different ways.
Yeah.
And it just slightly changes from year to year.
I mean, apart from like a discovery of a single, you know, actual known extraterrestrial entity, right? An EBE, as we said in the 90s, or like a UAP, which I hate talking about, but let's just do that anyways. Like, I'm wondering what it will take to move the needle even higher than this. Because I feel like we're circling the drain yet again. It's been 7 years of this kind of discussion, of this kind of like the curtain's almost being pulled up, but like we still got to fix what's going on behind that just to show you the right way.
We need something way better than the gimbal video and blobs on a black and white radar screen, right? We need something full HD, 4K, clear.
I'm just saying, even before that,
UFO flying in the sky, something concrete or metal, I guess.
Well, what I'm saying is, even before that, though, what is the next thing that moves the needle closer? Because I've been stuck on this question for like a week now.
It has to be something
tangible,
better, like tangible, like a video. We've had those military videos, but there could be anything. We don't know what we're looking at, apart from guys freaking out. And it's possible they're following an error on the screen, right? We don't know. There's nothing concrete there. We need, you know, like we need actual footage like you have of a nuclear explosion happening. You know, that's a nuclear explosion that's happening. You see the houses get blown apart in the tests, right? Like you see test footage of that. We need actual test footage of alien technology being used by the military that has to leak. And it seems like there's none of that. How is this not leaked in getting close to what, 80, 90 years of UFOs being in the zeitgeist of the world?
I agree with you. And the big problem that we're going to come up to very soon is fake leaks, right? With the way that generative AI is working and all the different models. Like, I've seen some very impressive stuff that would be hard to disprove based on like training models on like actual places, like videos of actual places, right? And so I think we're going to soon encounter the uncanny valley. We're in the uncanny valley kind of like appear right now, but we're going to move into a very credible space where artificially created media will become an issue for trying to find the quote unquote like objective truth of these things. And that's something I'm you know, obviously like I worry about much larger stuff in life that's more pressing, but then this is something I low key worry about too. Of like, you know, we can fake disclosure all we want. There'd be 1,000 flavors of disclosure. Whatever kind of aliens you want to talk about, we have a warehouse of them and here is one of them.
Yeah. We're never gonna believe that at that point because it'll be too unbelievable. So it's
I also feel like it's the boy who cried wolf at this point too, right? Like I think that like you know, think of your Lou Elizondos, think of all your, you know, your Jeremy Fornames, as Rob loves to call them. Like all of these different things, all of these different iterations of like people claiming to know the truth and have the truth. And
they feel too grifty, Brian.
Yeah.
We literally need somebody like Obama who has a lot of respect in the world to say, you know what? When I was president, this is what I saw and this is what I know. And it'd be weird for a former president to become a whistleblower. If anybody, it would be Trump to like just say, unbelievable, it's tremendous. Actual aliens, he would just come out and say it just to get votes.
I am going to say four words that I'm not proud of saying, and I don't want to happen anytime soon. Jimmy Carter deathbed confession.
He's in his late 90s now?
Correct, yeah. And unfortunately, he lost his wife a little while back. But he, like all those apocryphal stories of him finding out, like being briefed and then being like, I'm very scared, right? Because that was one of the things he mentioned. When I get into office, I'd love to be able to explain. And he had his own, you know, sighting and things like that. And just
that it might have been Venus, but not really. Who knows?
Yeah. And then he gets briefed on all these different things. And suddenly his whole timbre about this whole thing changes, right? And I would love... if, you know, as part of him leaving this world, if there was like some kind of, you know, break in his presidential NDA to sort of reveal these things. Obviously, he doesn't owe us anything. He's lived a full life. He's been, you know, the only living American president I respect continually. Visited his, you know, his library, you know, his presidential library. But it would be kind of nice if that was a parting gift. In the many years from now when he decides to leave us, let's say.
Who knows? Yeah, you're right, though. He is the closest one who, you know, talked about having a UFO encounter before he became president.
Yeah. And so I just, yeah. And like, once again, just taking it back to the more like man on the street level, like I feel like we're burning people. I feel like we're burning people who are outside of this space, right? Because every couple of years they see stories, UFOs are real. But then they take a second to read it and they're like, no, UFOs could be real. UFOs are real. We can't see them. UFOs are real, but they're over here. Like, it's just, you know, it's this continual sleight of hand in this clickbait culture that like is burning people out, I think, right? Because I think that like there was an enthusiasm, especially earlier in the pandemic when more people were trapped at home, this news was coming out and they were just more mainlining into their veins, right? But I feel like it's just, we talk about news cycles and I feel like just the threshold for caring is wearing quite thin for most people.
It will have to be something huge, like you said. It can't be the same old garbage footage from a jet that is maybe following something. It really has to be something absolutely impressive. It could even just be file photos from the 60s taking pictures of the vats where they keep these aliens, right? It could be things that simple that, oh, this is... But that stuff would have leaked a long time ago. I'm pretty confident to think that if there was an actual conspiracy to hide these things, too many people would have been able to leak them. But then again, we still don't really know what happened to Kennedy, right? Like, who knows?
Oh, yeah. His assassination records came out. We talked about this. We came out last year, but there's still a bunch of redacted stuff out there.
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't mind going with the official story that, you know, I was going to say James Earl Jones, but it wasn't James Earl Jones. But it's Lee Harvey Oswald that killed him. But who knows? I was watching this show about like the octopus conspiracy on Netflix. It was about this crazy conspiracy about this journalist who was uncovering all kinds of connections between all kinds of things. And another journalist that was covering this went to this possible whistleblower's house and he showed her footage of he was running the Zapruder footage for her on a screen. But it wasn't the Zapruder footage she had normally seen. And in this footage, the driver turned around, clearly though, not like the weird video of the people that had talked about the driver shooting him, clearly turned around and shot Kennedy and then just continued driving. And then he showed her the cleaned up version that this is what they want you to see of what you normally saw for the Zapruder footage.
Right.
So that made her, and she saw it. She saw it with her eyes. She seemed sincere. And he told her, you don't know which one's real and which one isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, and like, she couldn't.
Yeah.
So that he said, this is how far we can go to doctor things. And that's in the 60s. So who knows?
I was going to say, like, listen, like, and to kind of tie things back to what we were talking about before, like, you know, worrying about aliens and then worrying about whether or not the person died by magical bullet, right? Like that's a very interesting kind of thing to fixate upon too in terms of news cycles and sensationalism, right? Because that's a much more earth-based one and a bigger worry too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the leader of your country was assassinated at that point, and that was a huge shock to the US and the world.
Yeah, absolutely, right? So it changes things, right? And once again, like news cycles come and go. But Double Density is here forever, right, Angela?
Yeah, and you can send us a comment if you want. Go to doubledensity.net and fill out the comment form, I guess I was going to say. There's a form you can fill out.
Yeah, the contact form.
Yeah, contact form, and you can send us something, and we can maybe talk about it on the show.
doubledensitypodcast@gmail.com is also a great way to email us and let us know your thoughts, your ideas. We'd love to hear some feedback on how people are feeling about, are you burnt out by this constant disclosure talk? I'd love to hear from people. You can also find us over on Instagram under Double Density Podcast. Same thing on Threads.
Not on TikTok, though.
No, not on TikTok, no. I am not yeeting UFOs out the window on TikTok just yet.
Definitely not.
Angela, this has been it for episode 263 of the Double Density Podcast, and you can all tune in next week as we decide to go even deeper on Disclosure Talk. We're going to have a roundtable of 17 different people, 17 different perspectives, all about talking about disclosure, how it's around the corner, all of the evidence collected together all in the same place. 17 individuals, 17 energies, 17 bright brains just sharing the most pointed discussion you've ever heard about UFO disclosure, and it'll be the last time, the last word, and then we're going to unveil the biggest surprise of all.
If this is the first time that somebody listens to Double Density and they hear you say that and don't realize that anything you say at the end of the episode of what's happening next week is not true, they'll be very excited for next week.
Trying to find 15 other people to round up for disclosure all at once.
Yeah. But now I've ruined that. But yeah, that's it.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Sorry, there's a toilet flushing. I'm just waiting for it to stop flushing.
Skibbity toilet.